there was a magical equation in there for me of this is what I'm going for. I'm not going to do the other thing. The other thing to me is like a little bit of compromise or a lot of compromise or hiding ourselves and not really getting what we want, not being honest, not being able to work through conflict. But the magical equation was that I didn't know if I would ever get what I wanted. And it was kind of similar to how you stated it in last week's episode, which I loved so much because you were like, it wasn't about actually getting the relationship. It was about me being on my personal unique journey of stretching for it, of going for it.
Welcome to The Art of We, the podcast where we explore how committed partnerships can be potent vehicles for fully delivering our gifts to the world. Hi, I'm Krista Vanderveer, a seasoned consultant and executive coach.
And I'm Dr. Will Vanderveer, a leader and educator in integrative mental health and wellness. As husband and wife and business partners, we keep learning that the key to maximizing our authenticity and impact in the world lies inside the health, security, and depth of our relationship.
On this show, we'll pull back the curtains to share lessons, insights, and practices from our own marriage and professional careers that help us thrive. If you're a leader, founder, or overachiever, and you want to leverage your relationships for personal and collective growth, then you're in the right place.
Welcome to the Art of We podcast. This is episode number 86. Today, we're going to be getting into the second part of a mini series. In episode 85, we talked about how I prepared for this relationship with you. And today we're going to get into the ways that you prepared yourself for this relationship.
That's right. Obviously, in the Art of We, we're really standing for a particular type of relationship. And I just remember being in so many different conversations when I was single about how do we call in our partnership? How do we find the one? How do we do this? How do we do that? Inside of finding the kind of partner and partnership that we really wanted. And it's fun to go back and review and share the unique ways that you and I did that versus just assuming that there's one formula for how to do it. Like, I think everybody calls in their partnership and their partner in their own unique ways. And so we decided it would be fun to share because if you're in a position, dear listeners, where either you're calling in the next partner or you're wanting to elevate your partnership in different ways, we wanted you to hear our stories in case there's anything in there that resonates for you. Yeah? Does that sound accurate?
It does. It brings up a question for me, something you said about the journey of being single and looking for the one. And is there a one? What is your point of view about that?
It's such a great question. I was thinking about that question, actually, as I was thinking about these episodes. I think calling a person the one or somebody the one is a little bit too narrow-minded. I know for me, and it seems like for you, every person that's come into our life in an intimate relationship, partnership way has been so critical to our journeys, whether it's been the challenges have been great lessons, or there's a lot of love shared, or both of those things, or children are created out of these relationships. I think that to say that there's the one is just a little bit too narrow-minded, or it puts it into a box that makes it confusing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like it's stressful to have that perspective. First of all, if you're single and you're telling yourself that there is one person out there, you're looking for a needle in a haystack, and that could take a really long time. And there could be a tremendous amount of consternation about whether the person you're having a first date with is the one or not. And then what happens when, now hopefully this doesn't happen to you, but what happens if that relationship ends and the one is now not with you anymore? What does that mean?
Right.
The whole construct to me feels like a big setup.
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked the question because I think it's important to touch on that. How would you describe it? The one, the many? I'm going to call my many people. Are you going to call, what are you doing? You're calling in the next person that I'm going to be in deep partnership with.
I think it's about team and it's about how you play the game, so to speak. And here I go into a sports analogy, but I mean, there have been great teams where one star is considered to be like, oh, that's the heart of the team. And then that person turns out to be really difficult to, for lack of a better word, collaborate with. They're not a great teammate. They might be a star in their own way, but you know what I mean? So when that person leaves the team, sometimes the team succeeds after the so-called, you know, show pony is gone. So anyway, I just feel like it's more about how you play the game of relationship than it is about whether you're the chosen one or something like that.
Right. Or you get with the chosen one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it then. Ready?
Ready.
So why don't you take us back first to the time when you first became aware that you were calling in a new partner, a new relationship?
Prior to meeting you.
Well, are you still looking for a new partner?
Yeah.
It could be last week or yesterday if you want to get there.
Yeah. That's hilarious. The answer is no, 150% not. So
that's a different conversation.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. That's a different conversation. We are not needing to have that conversation, fortunately. Well, I would say that I've never oriented towards calling in the kind of partnership that I was calling in with any other person before I had met you. I mean, I've been single my whole life, not married, but in partnerships. But I'm trying to say that how I called in our partnership was very different from how I called in other kinds of relationships.
You had a number of long-term committed monogamous partnerships.
Right, I did. And speaking of not having the one, like they all were so beneficial in so many ways. And I learned so much and they were such great people. But they were very different. They were different kinds of relationships. So I'll just start for after Mark had died, my previous partner. He had a sudden death. It wasn't until probably a year and a quarter or a year and a half that I was even in some sort of conversation after he had passed to see if I wanted to be in relationship. And actually, if we even take a step back from that, I was in shock and just such a hard journey for so many months after he passed that I felt like my body really shut down in terms of like not being able to feel much at all other than grief and just my own healing journey. But I bring that up because if anybody's been through a big, massive loss, like sometimes there's a period where if you're like me, you're kind of like, I don't even know if my equipment around desire or like attraction even work anymore. And I think that there, I vaguely remember being like, boy, I don't even know if my constitution is made up to feel attraction for somebody anymore. So I was a little bit kind of like worried about that. But it's probably a different day for this story, but I'll just highlight that at some point out of the blue in a very inappropriate manner, I did receive a bolt of electricity through my body sparked by somebody that it maybe shouldn't have been sparked by, but...
You found out that your equipment does, in fact, work.
I found out it does work, yes. And it just was a very kind of inopportune and just not a setting that I imagined it would happen. But yes, so then that did lead me to understanding that, okay, maybe there's hope for me here around reclaiming, refinding my desire to be in partnership. At that moment, I was in the conversation with myself like, oh, do I want to have a partnership again? Do I want to be in relationship again?
Okay. And then you had an experience where you felt a lightning bolt of desire and then that opened up another phase of inquiry or what happened there?
Yeah, totally. Inquiry and being in the conversation of, well, I remember this specifically. Like there's things that probably all of us remember exactly where we were, what time of day it was. This was one of those moments where I was house-sitting for my parents and I was walking Lucy, the dog, walking around their neighborhood. And I remember exactly where I was when I asked myself the question of, do I even really want partnership again in this lifetime? Is that something that's actually important to me? And I just paused and there was another lightning bolt feeling of this deep yes of, I totally want partnership more than probably anything else. However, this partnership, the kind I'm talking about, needs to be extraordinary, like beyond anything I've ever known before. And I didn't even know what extraordinary meant for me at the time. Like I didn't have a definition for that, but there was like a feeling sense of, like you were saying, like team, mutuality, for each other's success, can work through conflict, are aligned. Like these were just kind of words and feelings that I had. But I was like, hell yeah, I want that more than anything.
Okay.
But I didn't want anything else other than that.
So you kind of reestablished your openness to that with, it sounds like higher, not expectations, but a higher level of discernment about what you were really wanting.
Totally. And more clear about what I wasn't willing to do ever. And I think there was kind of like a magical equation in there for me of, this is what I'm going for. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do the other thing, which has... The other thing to me is like a little bit of compromise or a lot of compromise or hiding ourselves and not really getting what we want, not being honest, not being able to work through conflict. But the magical equation was that I didn't know if I would ever get what I wanted. And it was kind of similar to how you stated it in last week's episode, which I loved so much, because you were like, it wasn't about actually getting the relationship. It was about me being on my personal unique journey of stretching for it, of going for it. But I was very unattached to it happening because I kind of knew that it was a stretch goal. We just had a big conversation about goals.
How we relate to goals.
How we relate to them. And we kind of had a rupture about it. And anyway, this was definitely a stretch goal for me.
Okay. So it started with that. And then what happened? I mean, lead us through that. So did you go into some kind of process where you really fleshed out the details of what it was that you, this elevated level of partnership that you were going to go look for? Or was it trial and error? Or what happened there?
Well, I actually did, with a little bit of resistance, go into a really specific process by somebody else who invited me into a process of listing out all of the things that I wanted in my next partner. And I was resistant because of kind of this magical thinking, airy-fairy kind of...
Yeah, here's the menu of partnership. Yeah.
Here's exactly what I want.
I'll have a number 16 and a number 3 for dessert. Yeah.
Exactly. With specifically these things on the side. And if they don't have this, then...
Gluten-free.
Forget about it. But no.
Yeah.
But the person who actually invited me to do this, I really trusted how he manifested his goals. And this happened to be Lloyd Fickett, who is the founder of The Collaborative Way, and that we worked together for several years to bring that into companies. So we were at, again, like I know the specific time and place. We were at an airport, I think it was Dallas, and we're sitting there waiting.
You're on a consulting gig.
Yeah, off a consulting gig, waiting for our flights and having a bite to eat. And he got out a piece of paper and he's like, okay, let's do this. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, let's do this. I was like, okay, we'll see. So that was kind of a sweet little moment that then did help me, kind of like you and your story. It helped me clarify what was actually really important. I added some of the like stuff in there that's a little bit more materialistic too. Like I wanted my partner to be taller than me, and I wanted to feel like I was getting enveloped when they hugged me. Like there's things like that, you know, like... I didn't want like this, like just like soft hug where I didn't really feel held. Like there are things like that. And there were the things about they were willing to practice the collaborative way, which was these agreements and all these other things.
So it started to come together in more detail.
Yeah. And it had me get a little bit more excited about the possibility of actually trying to find this person. So why don't we, before we go into the next steps, because I actually do have some pretty specific orientations that I used while looking for you with other people. But why don't we take a quick break and then I'll share what those are. How's that sound?
It sounds great. I also want to hear about what you were not open to when we come back. Maybe we could start with that.
It sounds great. We'll be right back.
We hope you're enjoying this episode. I want to take a quick break to let you know about a gift we created for you and your partner. We compiled our top 10 relationship agreements. Agreements that have been so powerful in supporting the success of our partnership that we even turned them into our wedding vows. These agreements help us stay connected, growing, and thriving as a couple, and they've been critical to help us create a kind of we that's way beyond what we've ever experienced before. You can download this free gift at KristaVanderveer.com. That's KristaVanderveer.com. Also, if you enjoy our podcast, it would be so meaningful to us if you left us a rating and review. Not only does it help others find us, but it gives us critical feedback on how we're doing. Thanks in advance, and now back to the episode.
Okay, welcome back. You wanted to hear more about what I wasn't open to?
Yes.
Well, here's an example. So there were a couple guys that I would say I was kind of like checking out to see if they could be potentials before I met you. And there were really two, I'm going to answer your question through answering the other question too of how, like what the practices were that I did. There were two practices, orientations that I had. One was getting really clear about what I wanted the next partnership to be like. And I didn't, again, I never had it before, but I had a sense that I really wanted our partnership to be a relationship, to be something that served at a greater level. Wasn't necessarily business, wasn't necessarily like we were doing something together, but I wanted the relationship itself to be somehow gifting those around us. I wanted it to be that extraordinary. And so that was one perspective. So then when I would meet people, I would kind of secretly be assessing to see if that's something that they could live into. And I would sometimes bring up the conversation, like both you and I actually ended up bringing to our first date, which was like all about that. And we closed down the restaurant for 3.5 hours or something, sitting there talking about it.
It's true.
There was a way that I was actually like secretly assessing to see if they could live into a conversation like that. So what I wasn't wanting is I wasn't wanting the, you know, very individuated, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, come together at night, go to bed, kind of like what you were talking about a little bit, like with your previous partner, was more of this independent, but we love each other kind of relationship.
We support each other, but we're not all that collaborative about where each other is going in life. I'm thinking about the listener who maybe is in the process of kicking the tires or looking for the partner or, you know, the dating world, and what advice you would have for the person who's out there in that position, who's in that phase of life. What are practices that they should be doing to be better prepared for vetting a possible partner?
Well, that leads to the second practice that I was doing, which was, and this wasn't like super conscious, it just kind of happened for me, looking at where my previous relationships were falling down and not as meaningful as I thought they could have been, or we weren't as successful as I thought we could have been. And so one area was this idea about speaking straight. And so I made this secret commitment to myself. Again, I wasn't sharing this with the people I was vetting and kicking the tires with, but that I was going to really practice and commit to myself that I was going to bring more of the real me forward than I had even in my previous relationships, especially in the beginning, because you're really setting the stage for what it's going to be down the line. So it meant, you know, being honest about my perspectives, about what I wanted, about what I didn't want, about really anything, just more of an authentic version of myself. So when I noticed moments in the dating process of being like, is it okay if I say this, or is it sure not, or is it too early, or is it whatever? And I started to get into that kind of like questioning, I would just automatically bring the thing and see if the person could hang with it.
Yeah.
Or if they couldn't hang with it. And then the second thing was doing cleanups with the person. So this is where it got really interesting, because I don't think everybody's really used to experiencing this super early on, but if there was a misunderstanding between us, or if there was like, I thought that maybe I negatively impacted the person, or I was negatively impacted, I was in the practice of bringing it. And, you know, I think for some of the very few people that I engaged with, I think it maybe was refreshing because it was kind of a different experience. But ultimately, between those two practices, I could filter out, or maybe we filtered out, if we were a fit for each other or not.
Right. So in the matter of speaking straight, which is one of the beautiful principles of the collaborative way that you were so immersed in for 4 years of your life, I think everyone knows what you mean by that. But I just want to elaborate that my understanding is that you are going away from a cultural habit that we have in the US, I would say. It's a little bit less prevalent in some other places I've gotten to visit. But the habit of subtly or not so subtly taking care of the other person or avoiding conflict by not speaking up about something you're feeling or seeing or a perspective that you hold that's important to you. And I think this is particularly part of the training for women in our culture too, of be careful not to fill in the blank, make the man feel less, or don't outshine him, or don't act smarter than him, or don't do this or don't do that. All of this horrific sort of conditioning that leads us away from authenticity and from getting to the bottom of the question that you were asking, is this person a good fit or not, right? You're not going to get that answer. If you want authenticity, you have to show up with authenticity and find out if the person can hang with it or not, right?
Totally, which was the beauty about this kind of magical equation for me, because of course I wanted connection and I wanted partnership and I wanted intimacy, but not at the expense of what I really wanted, which was this more extraordinary relationship, partnership. So the previous me, previous to Mark's death, and Mark's death was a big catalyst for me being like, I don't need another freaking partnership after that. Like, he was amazing, and that was really hard. And like, so that was helpful. But the previous me would have been doing the things that you're talking about consciously or subconsciously even, or even consciously.
Well, I think it's really a really powerful story of somehow it seems really important that you went all the way to the point of, I don't even know if I want another partnership, like to tear down that construct in your mind all the way to the bottom really, I think, allows you to create a completely new construct from scratch.
Right.
It's like not remodeling the house, but just scraping it off and saying, okay, well, if I get to build from the ground up, what's the structure here?
Yeah, that's a really good point. That was helpful.
Over here, for me, it feels trustworthy to be with a partner who started from that place of not, I have to get a partner because I'm going to feel fill in the blank if I am alone in the world or if I don't have a partner or whatever. It's like, no, I want to create something. That's very beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other part of doing cleanups is another tactic within the collaborative way that I don't know how much we've talked about it a little bit here on the podcast, but I can see how leading into a date with a, you know, first date with some capacity and interest in doing a cleanup with the person who's not expecting that or doesn't even know what that is could be a really interesting experience for the other person. I wonder if you could elaborate an example for the listener about what could that look like?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about the first date, and I would imagine on a first date, it's more like, it could look like anything. It could look like that guy shows up. I'm just talking about the gender that I would be attracted to. He would show up and he's having this kind of like his own process of how he does things. So maybe he's ordering stuff or he's kind of dominating the scenario. He's not really listening very well. You know, I'd like to say that I did a good job of bringing curiosity at that point, because first dates are kind of like, how much am I investing here because I'm already just feeling the person and seeing if they're a good fit. But I'd like to say that I would do a good job of bringing curiosity there of like, hey, it seems like you're kind of the type that really likes to take over the space, that likes to dominate what's happening. I'm really curious about, it just has me be really curious about your capacity for connection. I remember, this is so great. I'm glad you're asking the question. I remember one person that I met at the gym. Mm-hmm. Great place to meet people, by the way. I'm just joking. Kind of a meat market, the gym that I was at. But, and it was maybe the second time that we got together for like lunch. And for some reason, the conversation about sex came up. It was very fast for that to come up. I mean, in my world, it was something like, well, how do you know if sex is good sex or bad sex? I don't know. It's just like a weird random conversation.
So you asked him what's the difference? How do you know the difference between good sex and bad sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, is there bad sex? And just saying that made me think, okay, I don't know if I'm going to offend people here, but I think that kind of answer says to me that he's not very, he doesn't have a lot of capacity to connect and track and attune. And, you know, he's probably dominating the experience. And it could have been a filter, but so there was like a misunderstanding there. And so then I'm like, okay, well, help me understand what you mean by that. And it's not that these kinds of conversations aren't like, wouldn't happen, like that women wouldn't ask these kind of curious conversations. But I think that anytime that there's like a, ooh, that didn't feel good. It's like, I was committed to bring more clarity to the conversation, to actually flush it out versus be like either, oh, he's just a dude.
Right. It's a great example. I think any human being can identify carefully at your own lived experience of conversations with other humans. You can find moments where something happened, the person said something or did something that caused a reaction in yourself that you then went on to ignore or not deal with or bring forward. And I think what you're talking about is like this radical commitment. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean you do it, you know, the right way every time. It's a practice, right? But it's a radical commitment to not override these internal signals that tell you, hey, let's look into that. What? Let's pump the brakes and hold on. Let's look at this and see what did that person mean when they said there's no such thing as bad sex? Like, it's a really interesting question.
Yeah. Right? I also remember inside of that conversation also, you know, I was asking the questions of like, what are you wanting here? What are you looking for in a partnership? I mean, that was the last time we met because he was like, he happened to have a lot of wealth and he was like, all I want is I want us to travel and I want her to come with me wherever we go. It was a very different model, you know, than I was actually looking for, obviously. But just being real of like, okay, that's totally not what I'm looking like. Like, that's not what I'm looking for. And not letting it drag out, you know?
Yeah, getting to the bottom of it, not wasting your or their time beating around the bush.
And then there was another person who, you know, I was hanging out with a little bit longer. There was more potential there. We were trying to figure it out. And I just remember being on the phone with him in my car and really kind of waking up to some things that weren't being talked about between us and just getting the courage to be like, okay, we got to talk about this stuff. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it. He may not like me after this conversation because I'm asking about it, but this is what I'm committed to. And every single time that I followed through with my commitment with these practices, despite the results, I became more and more confident and had so much more self-trust in myself about my capacity to actually call in the kind of partnership that I wanted. And so every tiny little minute step of doing something differently was so beneficial to my journey.
It's beautiful how you were already practicing the skills and mobilizing the courage to take the risks that would be necessary for you to take, even if the person turned out to be the partner, right? That we have to take the risk to be vulnerable or ask the difficult question or take the chance that the person's not going to like us if we ask the question, or they're going to feel like we're judging or challenging them in some way that they don't want to be challenged. But if you can't show up for yourself and ask those difficult questions, no matter how messy or difficult it is to do that, it's like you're not showing up in the world as the person who can have that kind of relationship.
Totally.
So you're really not putting yourself in a position to get it.
Yeah.
If you can't do it.
Yeah. I think that's really well said. And it, you know, it's very similar to your path. Even though you were in partnership with your previous wife, you were doing these things also in your own way once you realized what kind of partnership you wanted. So I think that's a very important point here.
Well, this has really been helpful. It's fun to hear more about the details and the nuances of your journey before our we came about.
Yeah. And then you and I were set up and we had that long 3-hour first date, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And then I really, you know, looking back, I'd be curious about what you would say, but I remember a lot of different times back then at your place on Elder, we call it the Elder place, but back at Elder where we were really walking our talk. Like I remember many conversations in the kitchen and the living room, the dining room about really feeling both of us stand for ourselves with each other and being willing to risk a lot and be willing to be uncomfortable and be willing to stay in the conversation with each other and see it through. And I think those early days obviously really supported the foundation for who we started to become together. Because had we done it differently with each other, we'd have a very different outcome, I think.
I would be surprised if we ended up together if that's how we behaved in those early days, because we were building the foundation of showing each other that we could, and ourselves, that we could do the level of depth and collaboration that is hugely rewarding and such an amazing privilege to be a part of. And it takes a massive amount of investment and care and attention. And, you know, it's like an entity that just takes a lot of care and feeding and has a lot of capacity, but it's hungry for energy and attention.
And I would say too, that even today, like for those of you who are listening, it's not like the discomfort goes away in the very vulnerable moments of standing for myself with you, Will. It's like, it's not, I mean, I do find myself that I'm in a different place than I was when we first met. But even though we have that strength with each other, I just want the people who are listening to not think that for me, it doesn't go away. It just gets easier. I still get scared of bringing things that feel vulnerable or bringing things in a way that's not very skillful. So that's still true. But every time we do it and we rupture and repair, we're stronger and stronger.
That's really true. And it's such a vivid journey, long-term partnership that's committed in the ways that we are to becoming who we're capable of being in relationship with each other. It takes, I'm reminded of this kind of saying that what the skills that got us to this point are not going to get us to the next point, you know? And so it's like this continual practice of being worked. And there are, of course, times when you feel really comfortable and it's very beautiful and the whole thing is that way and in a particular sense, but there's also this willingness to be very uncomfortable and knowing that you're choosing that in order to grow and develop more capacity.
Definitely. There's one last thing I want to go back to before we close, which was the list that I created.
You made a list.
So I made this list with Lloyd sitting at the airport.
Oh, at the airport. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I haven't looked at it for a long time, but when you and I met, I mean, I was vaguely holding that list in the back of my head. But what I would like to say is that first, you embody and you are so much more than that list, like a gazillion times what I could have imagined. And I remember, you know, like we have a picture of you back in those early days from behind sitting in our meditation room. And you were really into biking. So you were like a super strong biker and you've like gotten a lot of King of the Mountain awards for your capacity and your skill. And so you were very athletic and you were very skillful mountain biker. Mm-hmm. That's basically what you did. And from this picture from the back of you, it's so crazy to look at now because like we can almost see like your ribs popping through the back.
Where is this going?
I think for those of you who have a list, like this is the example I'm wanting to make is I loved the way that you held me then. And I love the way that you hold me now. And like you've really grown into even more and more without it being a request, without it being any of my agenda, without anything. Like you keep growing more and more into the vision of like holding me in a way because you've now have been 2 years behind you on your own desire of weightlifting. And like the way that I feel you hold me today is freaking amazing. And that was one of the things on my list where I just remember being like, at the time, I just remember being like a little bit like, okay, I love the way he holds me. It's not as like encompassing as I was imagining.
That's interesting.
But that's okay because of how extraordinary this being is. So it gets into this thing of like, we can't be overly picky about some of the things on our list. And I'm having the experience where you're so much more than that list. And I'm so grateful for it.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you for saying all that.
I don't know if that makes sense, what I'm saying here, but it's for those people who can get caught with, oh, he doesn't fit this profile or she doesn't fit this profile. It's like, don't hold that too tightly because you're going to miss out.
Thank you. That's a good point of sometimes people, and I have friends like this too, where people can get very picky. They can get very nitpicky about, you know, a little thing about a person that's a quirk about them that, you know, you can build a case against them that this isn't a good fit to be your partner because you don't like the colors that they chose for their home or whatever, you know, it's like, okay.
Okay, there is an example. I know we're going long here. There's an example of where I was very, very honest and was very uncomfortable. So this guy, he was heavily courting me and we were set up through a friend and he was kind of like, you know, like a well-known community member. And he fit a lot of the profile that I thought I was looking for, but he had really bad breath. I couldn't get close to the guy. It was really hard. And after a few times, I'm just like, I have to be honest with him. Like, I don't know what to do other than I could lie, number one, but that's not what I'm up to. I just want to be honest with this guy and give him the feedback. Turns out, so I did. I gave him the feedback. It was very challenging and very hard, but it was very true. And I felt very proud of myself. And it turns out that apparently he had had this bad breath for years and because he went around and asked his friends, but nobody had told him about it. And it ended up being a really big gut problem. I think it was like massive GI issues going on that he didn't know about. And anyway, that was the end of that. But I think he's resolved it and hopefully has moved on to a really great partnership.
It's a great example of how tempting it can be to avoid something that you're not for the other person's greatest success if you're not telling them about a hygiene issue or something like that.
Totally. Yeah.
Thanks for setting him free that way.
I'm glad it didn't work out because
me too.
The obvious reason why. But yeah. Well, thank you so much for all of your questions and for having fun with me here and getting into the details.
Thank you. And thank you, listener, for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Take care. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you found this content valuable, please follow the show and share it with your partner or other key collaborators. If the show sparked an interesting conversation based on these topics, we'd love to hear from you. Find us on Instagram at @artofwepodcast.
And we'll see you next time when we explore what it means to be better together, like butter and toast, on The Art of We.